When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dr. C here. Before we begin, I'd like to make sure that you're aware that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is a leading provider of online therapy, and they provide video, phone, or live chat sessions with a licensed professional therapist. It's affordable, and you can connect with your therapist within 48 hours. Now, as a special offer to our Surviving Narcissism listeners, they'll offer a 10% discount for your first month of professional therapy. All you have to do is go to BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast. Now, I know that many of you would find online therapy to be quite life-changing, and so go to BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast, and many thanks to the people at BetterHelp for sponsoring our podcast.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Narcissism Podcast with your host, Dr. Les Carter. I'm Michaela, the program director, and in today's episode, Dr. Carter welcomes Terry Cole to discuss healthy versus unhealthy boundaries.
Hey, Team Healthy, you know that I'm constantly looking for individuals who are going to be able to speak to us in ways that I think are going to be very beneficial. And today we have a special guest, Terry Cole, who's with us all the way from the state of New York, and she has a lot to say about the topic of boundaries. Terry, first of all, welcome to our Surviving Narcissism Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I see there in the background, we know that you're the author of the book, Boundary Boss. Love the title. And I suspect it's drawn quite a few people towards it. You have your own podcast and YouTube channel and quite a strong presence out there in media land. So I know that many of our viewers and listeners are attuned to who you are anyway. So I want us to talk about, you know, how you even came into this interest of discussing boundaries. What was it that made you kind of zero in on that and become a niche of yours? What's the story on that?
Well, you know what they say, right? You teach what you most need to learn. So I would say that I was a boundary disaster for sure in my 20s. And I didn't even know what boundaries were. And I didn't know that the source of my suffering was having disordered boundaries. I had no idea. I really thought if my boyfriend was just not a jerk, or if my boss was just a different person or whatever, I really thought it was other people. And having enough therapy, I really grasped that I was the common denominator in all of those scenarios where you're like, in one way, it's humbling because you're like, holy crap, it's me, as Taylor Swift would say, I'm the problem, it's me. but the really inspiring part of that is that if it's you, then you can change it. So, but it took a long time to even understand what was missing. Like, I didn't know that my resentment in relationships and sort of feeling taken advantage of or feeling put out by other people, I was like, oh, Betty's entitled. It's Betty. And the truth is, I was serving myself up on a platter, and, you know, people got used to my grade A service, right, that I was offering without expecting a lot of it back. So that was the beginning of my process, was really understanding that it was something that I could learn, and that boundaries really are like a language, but you actually can learn them. So that was the beginning of the story. But what I started seeing when I became a psychotherapist, I had a different career before becoming a psychotherapist. I was a talent agent, and that certainly, entertainment, obviously, I don't need to tell you or anybody, is not a hotbed of mental health. There was tons of boundary violations and very blurred boundaries in that business. An expectation that you will go out and socialize with your clients, an expectation that you will go to parties. Like it was very blurred. So the healthier I got, the less comfortable I was being in that industry. I was like, I just have to get out of here. This is so unhealthy. But then when I opened my own therapy practice, what I really saw was that it didn't really matter what the presenting problem was. The person who walked in the door, and they were all, a lot of my demographic was very successful women. So that was a lot of what I saw. But no matter what they came in initially for as their complaint, I could connect it to this lack of healthy boundaries, this inability to effectively assert their, what I consider your boundaries, which is your preferences, your desires, your limits, and your deal breakers. And they most of them didn't even know what they were. And if they did, they didn't have the language to assert them. So that got me excited enough to write a book.
Well, there's kind of a twofold part of the personal growth process. Number one, you have to have your own intrapersonal examination. Mm-hmm. Who am I and what do I believe? But then to your point, but you still need to know how to manage it with other individuals, because we're relational creatures and we need to know how to articulate who we are well with other individuals, hopefully with the idea of matching and harmonizing well. And sometimes we can focus on one aspect or the other aspect, but you're saying we need both.
Right. Yeah, we really do. What I found amazing, though, is that you would have these very successful people who are super highly capable and competent, and they would feel really bad about not being good at setting boundaries or knowing how. And I would always be like, how could you possibly know something that no one ever taught you? Like we're here now, right? Let's do it now. But I think that if we look at the way that women in particular have been socialized historically, right? It's really like, you know, where's my happy girl? Turn that frown around. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like the overt and covert messaging was very much like, be pleasing, be compliant, and do what is expected of you. Be a good girl, be a helper, right? And so many of my clients, that was the messaging they got. And so it almost, the myths around boundaries, one of the biggest ones is that if you have good boundaries, you're mean.
Some folks, you know, think of boundaries as just saying no.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it includes that, but it's so much more. Yeah, in fact, my starting point for having good boundaries, and you were alluding to it just a moment ago, is to know who you are, have a definition of yourself. Go back, you said it pretty quickly, but you mentioned four things that mm-hmm. are a part of maintaining boundaries, and you have to establish those within yourself first. Go back and walk us through those.
Sure. Right. So according to me, your boundaries, right? I want you to think about your boundaries as your own personal rules of engagement. It just lets other people know what's okay with you and what's not okay with you. But the four things that you're referring to that your boundaries are made up of are your preferences, your desires, your limits, and your deal breakers. So when we think about this, people don't usually think about boundaries in this way. But your preferences are boundaries in some ways, and they're important. I feel like so many of my clients would, they felt like they'd get a gold star for having no preference, for being like, you know me, I'm easy breezy, no fuss, no muss, that type of a thing. And I feel like that's something that, again, there's this societal pressure to not be demanding as a woman in particular. Like, and this is true. I mean, the double standard is alive and well, and a lot of especially what we're talking about with gender stuff, where why is your preference a burden to someone else? And yet a lot of my clients would, I could see them being like, I don't even know what my preferences are. So really exactly to your point, Dr. C, is going back to, do we know ourselves? So with my therapy clients, when people would get in and we'd realize that they have disordered boundaries, whether they're too porous, which is loose, whether they're too rigid, which is too tight, we would have to start with them figuring out what are, you know, I would have them do this big list. It's like the okay and not okay list in all areas of life. Like a lot of times we're tolerating a lot of stuff that it's not necessary for us to, that we could make small changes to make our lives better. So anyway, that's the beginning, is helping clients really start to identify preferences, desires, limits, and deal breakers, because it isn't just, as you said before, about saying yes or saying no. When you set a limit with someone, your friend wants you to help her move all day on Saturday. You can help her move from 12 to 2 on Saturday. I cannot help you all day, but I'm happy to help you from 12 to 2. I will bring donuts. See you then, right? There's a way to assert what is good for you, what is right for you in your relationships, rather than what I was doing in my 20s, feeling put out because the person asked me and I didn't know how to set a limit on the amount of time. I felt like I either had to help them all day or I was a jerk because I didn't want to help them, you know?
Well, and again, implied in what you're saying is so many people allow other people to establish who they're going to be. I am what I am because of what you've asked me to do. I am what I am because of how my parents programmed me, or the club that I'm in, or whatever it might be. And you're saying, no, each individual needs to take personal responsibility, go inside and start defining yourself. And as simple as that is for good old Les Carter and Terry Cole to sit here and say, for some individuals, that's not natural, is it?
No. And it can be scary too, because when we think about why is it scary to push back on things, to assert ourselves? Because there is an opportunity, a chance, a possibility that we will be rejected, right? It makes us, to be honest, when we're honest in our relationships, when we talk true, as I would say, there is a possibility that someone won't like it, that someone will reject us or say we're stupid because we said that, or say that we're a jerk because we said that. And yet our job is to know ourselves well enough to know that if someone disagrees with us, we don't disintegrate into thin air. If someone is mad at us, that doesn't necessarily mean that relationship has to end. Some people can be mad at you and you could still have a relationship with them, right? Like, and I feel like this conflict avoidance is such a big part of the lack of setting boundaries, where, you know, I would have clients and they would just, what they really wanted was peace. But I'm like, yeah, but that's not what you want. What you're talking about is external peace, and you're willing to give up your internal peace.
Great way to put it.
Right? To placate other people and manage the crap out of your environment. But what is happening for you inside? Because that's the peace we have to prioritize.
Yeah. So many times there are signals that an individual can emanate, if you will, that imply that they have poor boundaries. For example, saying yes when you should have said no, or sometimes you keep secrets and you don't want people to know certain things about you, or you wind up suppressing much of your emotion, and you wind up with a lot of anxiety. What are some of the things along those lines that would be signals or red flags to you that would say this person is not really managing their boundaries very well?
Well, we can start with, from an emotional, let's say an emotional boundary point of view. Have you ever met someone who like basically spills their guts and tells you like their deepest, darkest secrets, and they barely know you? And this is a boundary issue, right? From an emotional point of view, because now you have information a lot of times you'd rather not have, but it's also, it's mistaking revealing something about yourself with intimacy. So much of the time, the person who's doing the revealing is seeking intimacy, a connection. And you might make that connection briefly, but then you end up with a vulnerability hangover later where you're like, oh, why did I tell my neighbor that about me? Or why did I? And so part of it is being aware for yourself. If you end up revealing too much too soon, it's like, it's okay. Don't make yourself feel terrible about it, but slow down and get really clear when you go out and you're meeting new people. Give other people a chance to talk and protect yourself, because we don't want to necessarily be vulnerable to people we don't know, right? I always feel like another way that we can look at disordered boundaries is making all these assumptions that other people are like you, right? I always say to my therapy clients, we're going to wait and see. People we don't know that someone is emotionally trustworthy. Just because we're emotionally trustworthy, there's a lot of positive projection that can go on where we just feel like everybody's just like us.
Yeah, I'm going to treat you right. Therefore, I assume you'll do the same with me.
Yep.
And you know what happens when you assume.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's slowing down. Other things with boundaries, people who, you know, if we look at the categories of boundaries, you can look at your physical body, right? This is physical boundaries. Could be a boundary violation is someone touching you when you don't want to, or saying sexual things to you that you don't like, someone trying to coerce you to be sexual, all of those are physical boundaries. You have material boundaries, which is how you keep your things and whether you lend things or not, right? You have some people who don't care about if their car is dirty and then other people who really like their car to be pristine. And there's nothing wrong with either end of that. But there's a boundary violation if you're someone who likes your car to be very clean and you've lent it to someone else and they leave a bunch of crap in your car, that would be a boundary violation for you. And material stuff too is lending money. You know, do you lend? I'm just going to say don't, but that's just my two cents on that because that shit is always going south. Trust me, there will always be some complication that you could have lived without that. Your mental boundaries, they're basically, it's about what you think. Can you hold on to your opinion even when you're with other people who disagree with you? Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. People who, let's say, get really upset that you don't think the way that they do, that is a boundary violation, right? And same thing with emotional boundaries, where if you are upset and you tell someone you're upset, someone's saying to you, that's ridiculous. That's no reason to be upset. That is an emotional boundary violation because right. If you're upset, you have a right to be upset. And what I teach in the book and what I teach in my courses and my mastermind is that there's a way that we've already trained the people in our life to teach us treat us a particular way. And so part of this whole new language of boundaries and learning a different way of interacting, because as you said at the top, that's really what we're doing. These are relational, right? Boundaries are the distance between you and me, the distance between two people or the closeness. And we can teach people to do it differently. And we are not using boundaries as for a lever of control or a form of manipulation, right? And that's really important because I see the misuse of boundaries quite a bit out there where someone will be like, when you're out with your friends, you have to call me every hour. That's my boundary. You know how I feel when you're out with your friends. I'm like, that is not a boundary. That's a request that the person can say yes or no to, but that is not a boundary. That is manipulation. That is control. That is, I'm afraid, I don't trust you, so I want you to be checking in with me. But I think that a lot of times it's easy for people to get confused about what boundaries are.
I'd like for you to be aware of my video courses. One of them is entitled Free to Be, Finding Yourself Despite the Controllers in Your Life. Now, inside this course are various modules, and inside each module, it breaks down into various lessons with a video, teaching documents, and then also questions that go along with it. For example, inside Free to Be, you'll learn how controllers want to invite you into their games, but then you'll also learn about the 7 principles of freedom, how to develop self-trust, and much more. Now, if you are interested in enrolling in the classes, you could go to our survivingnarcissism.tv website, click the link for courses, and you'll find that one and others. And I hope that you would find them to be quite therapeutic.
And now back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
You know, and it's so important to make that distinction. You know, obviously, I do a lot of work with people engaging with narcissistic individuals, and control is the name of the game for them. And so some individuals think that in boundaries, you're trying to control the other person, when in fact, no, as you're, you were saying it, you're educating them about who you are. And there's still an open option. You can still be whatever you want to be when you're in my presence. It may be that if we're way, way different on many different topics, we're not a very good match for one another, but it's not about control. It's simply about being true to who you are.
Exactly. And the way that I teach it, because not all boundaries carry the same weight or the same importance. So we go from preferences to deal breakers, because obviously a preference, coffee or tea, is less important than we got together and you were in recovery for 15 years and then you relapsed, right? That might be a deal breaker, like get back on the wagon within 3 months or we're done or whatever it is. So it's not every boundary request has the same importance. And we need to know for ourselves, like whatever your deal breaker is, Les, whatever my deal breaker is, we have a right to what they are. I remember when I was single in New York and I was dating and I was in recovery myself. I stopped drinking when I was in college. And I said to my friend who was, this was long before there were apps, because I've been married for 25 years. So this was a long time ago. But my friend was, you know, wanting to hook me up with other people. And I was saying to her, listen, because this is when people went on blind dates, actual blind dates where you meet through friends. And I said, you know, I don't want to, nobody with addiction issues though. And my friend was like, why? You're judging someone else with an addiction issue when you have an addiction issue? I was like, no, man, that's just my deal breaker. Like there's only room for one recovering addict in a relationship with me, and that's me. So, and I didn't need to at that point in my life, I didn't have the language to say deal breaker, but that's a perfect example of a deal breaker that I didn't need to explain to my friend that it's my right to say, it does not, that does not work for me. That's it. So this is where boundaries come in. And sometimes it is a take it or leave it, right? That's what a deal breaker is. We go, no, I don't think we can come back from this if you step over this line or whatever it is.
Sometimes one of the difficulties when you're trying to establish those boundaries is people don't know how to interpret you. Like you say, you know, my deal breaker is this. And they're saying, you're being judgmental. It's mm-hmm. like, no, I wasn't being judgmental. I just know me well enough to know that that doesn't work.
Yep.
Somebody else may say, you're just being finicky, or you're hard to get along with, or mm-hmm. you're trying to superimpose or whatever. Yep. It's like, none of that. My whole conception of boundaries, and I'm assuming you're with me on this one, starts with the idea that you're free and I'm free too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in your freedom, you get to do whatever you want. In my freedom, I get to be whatever I want. And let's see what kind of overlap we have. And hopefully in healthy relationship, there's enough, you know, plasticity to where we can change and adjust where helpful and necessary, because, you know, I don't want to be too rigid. But it starts with an understanding that we're two free people. Mm-hmm. Let's see where our freedom leads us.
It's funny. I always say that adult relationships are 100% voluntary, no matter who they're between, whether it's family, it doesn't matter, right? It's like you choose it. And then boundaries come in because this is how we negotiate, how we're going to interact with each other. And it's okay to ask for something different, to make a simple request, to say that something doesn't work for you. Like that's your job to do. And we can do that without making the other person wrong. And I think that this is where there's a lot of confusion with boundaries, is people feel like if I'm setting a boundary, me saying something doesn't work for me is not me saying something crappy about you. I'm literally talking about myself.
Other individuals may interpret it as rejection, but it's like, well, nonetheless, that's not where I was coming from. Hey, let me ask you something. I've had variations of one huge theme, and that is we'll talk about having your assertions and setting your stipulations and consequences and leaning mm-hmm. into who you are. And I'll have people that'll be in my counseling office, and they would go away just feeling energized, and then they'd come back the next week saying, "Well, Carter, you know, that was really nice, but I tried to set my boundaries and explain to people who I wanted to be, and it just didn't work." And what they mean is the other person didn't agree with me,
yep.
or the other person didn't pat me on the back and say, "Hey, way to go." Right. You find that to be pretty common?
I do, but I always teach my clients, and I teach in the book, like expect pushback. This is going to happen, right? Because think about it. Our relationships are dances, right? Dr. Harriet Lerner very eloquently talks about this in her book, The Dance of Anger, The Dance of Deception. We're dancing. When you start to get healthier boundaries, you're changing the steps. Trust me, your dance partners are going to notice and they're going to be like, what is happening here? Now, some people will be more flexible. Some people will be less flexible. But the bottom line is we learn, you can learn that your boundaries are about you and you have a right and an obligation to be honest about what they are. Because if we take this all the way forward, if people are saying yes when they want to say no, if we are confusing, being compatible with being compliant, right? People, a lot of times my therapy clients would be like, I don't know what my problem is. We're so compatible. We never fight. I'm like, that makes me think
the best
that's,
thing?
I'm not sure that's good. And when I bring up the compliant thing, because a lot of codependency has a lot to do with, that's a lot of the work that I do as well. They were confusing compatibility with compliance. And I think that you have to expect that there's going to be some pushback, but really grasping that you are not that fragile and that most of the time your relationships are not that fragile either. And if you setting a boundary blows up your relationship, that relationship was built on your self-abandonment.
And it wasn't healthy to begin with. You know, one of the things listening to what you're saying is that boundaries can be most necessary, and you get a real good idea of how healthy you are with your boundaries when you're in the midst of conflict.
Oh, yeah.
I have a history of teaching anger management classes and writing about the topic. And crazy me, I think that you can actually have anger management practices that are constructive. You know, if there's a frustration or if there's a tension that we have, I can sit down and say, hey, Terry, there's something I want to talk with you about. And you can say, well, Les, you have this perspective. I have that perspective. And we can respect each other. Mm-hmm. And we can have an honor and there can be a sense of thinking it through carefully. People with very poor boundaries, if I were just to describe that and say, how possible does that sound? It's like, I don't know that I've ever had that happen. Because someone blows up or someone goes into shutdown mode. And so if I have boundaries like this, all I'm doing is I'm asking for trouble. What do you say when people bring that kind of complaint in or that kind of protest in?
Well, I say that you can't expect to become fluent in a language you've never learned overnight. Like it's going to take a minute. So do you want, are you willing, like what are you willing to do to have deeper intimacy in your relationships? What are you willing to do? Are you okay? There's going to be some pushback. It will not kill you. As long as your person's not homicidal, like it will not kill you. So I feel like that's what I say to my clients, that it's not what they do. You can stand your ground. You can stay firm. You know, you can say, I see that you're upset. I'm not making you wrong. I love you. I don't want to fight with you about this, but I really do need to tell you how I feel. It's important to me. So please, can we really sit down and try to talk about it? Like, there are ways to de-escalate a conflict, because think about it. I mean, you're 50% of every relationship that you're in, right? I'm 50% of every relationship that I'm in. That's just statistically, that's all it could be. So what am I going to do with my 50% and the power that I have? If I get activated, if we become polarized because now you've kicked a bruise that you know is an old one saying I'm bossy or whatever it is, somebody has to stay normal. Like somebody has to stay calm. And if you're the person who's trying to change the dance, it's probably going to have to be you for a little bit. But your person, if it's a good relationship and if their relationship is worth the effort, it'll be so much better when you can talk like this, when you can respect each other's boundaries, when you can talk about what you want in a real way, not assuming about each other. Don't you want to know who your person is? Because what I was getting at before, but somewhere a long way around the barn got lost, I was saying that in the end of life, like in the end of this, if you're saying yes when you want to say no, if you're not telling the truth about setting limits or how you feel, I've had women come into my practice in their sixth and seventh decade of life being like, P.S., is this all there is? Because I've done everything. I've checked every box. My kids all went to Ivy League schools. I'm sitting on boards. My spouse and I have money. We travel. I'm on these charities. Why do I feel so empty? And I'm like, because you literally built your life on boxes that other people constructed. and nobody friggin' knows you. And that is a really, talk about an existential crisis to have when you're 68, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And along with boundaries, there's another word that is so essential. That's the word authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I define authenticity as being internally and externally consistent, as yeah. opposed to what you were describing there. You know, I'm hiding who I really am.
Yep.
In order to try to keep some sort of peace that really isn't peace. Yep. And so boundaries means that you know yourself and you're very willing to let other individuals know. There's one thing I want to comment here about where how you come across. You have such a calming style of communication and you don't come across as harsh or, by golly, you need to say whatever you want to say. And if they don't like it, that's their tough luck. And it's that very internal calm and peace that becomes the superpower, if you will, that makes boundaries work. Would you say that that would be the case?
Well, thank you for saying that. And I do think so, because part of what I did in the book, there's a whole entire chapter that's just on scripts for every scenario that you can imagine, because part of it is people don't have the words. And so, you know, from Marshall Rosenberg's work, you know, he's got, you know, I'd like to make a simple request, right? Which I've co-opted and use all the time, because really any request is simple. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, but some people don't like that language. I actually like it and think it's very effective. It's knowing that if you can have like five different scripts in your back pocket, and we start with low priority people. It's another thing I wanted to say, like, let's not start with like our partners or our parents, right? Let's start with sending back the salad if it's not what you ordered. Like, let's start with low priority folks so that you actually can practice telling the truth, whether it's you're getting a massage and the pressure is too hard. Why are you paying for a massage that does not feel good? Tell the truth. Hey, can you lighten that up, please? Or if you have a massage therapist who likes to talk, but you don't want to talk, I would always go in just in case, because I do not want to talk during a massage. And I would say, and don't let me get to talking, because I really need a quiet massage today. So if I start talking, you just give me a tap, right? I'm not trying to offend the person. I'm trying to convey information to them that they'd want to have, because they don't want to make conversation with me probably anyway. Like, I'm letting them know, please don't. Or I will actually call the place ahead of time and say, can you just make a note that I'd like a quiet massage? Yeah. Setting people up to succeed, whether it's the massage therapist, whether it's our partner, whether it's our siblings, by being honest, these are boundaries. Healthy boundaries and good communication are the bridges, not the blocks, to deeper intimacy in your relationships.
Well, and I think it's so important for us to realize you may wind up weeding out certain unhealthy individuals, because I'm thinking what you're saying makes so much sense. But I can also, just in my own personal life and friendships and people that I know, I know that there are some individuals, when people start talking with them like this, then they're gone. And it's like, well, then so be it. And I don't mean to be rude or mean, but I'm not very good trying to be somebody that I'm not. And so,
if it costs you, if it's self-abandonment, though, if the price for that relationship is self-abandonment, the cost is too high, yeah, you know?
Yeah. So, and hopefully, best case scenario, that is, you have your healthy boundaries and you come across as comfortable in your own skin. Maybe, just maybe, you're establishing a model worthy of being emulated, and other individuals can think, you know, I'm blessed by being in your presence.
And they can do it. Listen, yeah. I was a disaster. If I can do it, Dr. Singh, I trust me, anybody can do it. I was more scared than anyone else. I was totally conflict avoidant, all of the things. And here's the thing, even if you become a boundary master, if your nature, I still don't love conflict. Like, it doesn't change who you are. You just gain the skills to navigate effectively the storms of life, rather than feeling like you're the teeny boat being jerked around by the storm. You have the skills, so you become the storm And the boat is your life, where you're actually directing where it's going rather than feeling like it's happening to you.
You make so much sense. And I want to say thank you. And I know our audience is going to have plenty of nice comments to say about this. Yeah, I'm really hopeful that individuals can realize there's a twofold process as we're trying to be healthy. One, I need to know myself well. Two, I need to know how to engage well with other individuals. And hopefully they'll pick up and reciprocate. And if not, then that's not going to be something on my inner circle. So thanks so much for your timely remarks and reminders about what a healthy way of life looks like.
Great. I wanted to tell you, for anyone in your audience who is interested in finding out their archetype, right? So I have 7 boundary archetypes. You can just go to boundaryquiz.com. It's totally free, 13 okay. questions, and it will tell you if you're more of a, if your boundaries are more porous, maybe you're more of a pushover, or you could be more of an ice queen. There's different things that you could be, but it's only 13 questions. So boundaryquiz.com.
Well, and in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to get some information. We'll put it underneath the video here for you and in our podcast and all too. So people can look it up, because I mean, people need what you have to offer. So again, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. You have to come on my show now.
Well, okay. We'll see about that. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dr. C.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. Surviving Narcissism is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience, specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. You can find more content from Dr. Carter on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Surviving Narcissism, as well as on his website, survivingnarcissism.tv. Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We are so glad to have you on Team Healthy.